All right, let's start out with a word of prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you for gathering us again. So we come before you and encounter you, experience you, and turn our hearts and our minds and our eyes towards you. We always come with an expectation because your word always has something for us. Your word always speaks to us as a group, as a family, more than that, individually too. And that's why we set aside this time to worship you and to praise you and to listen to what you have to say for us. May you open our ears, open our eyes so that we may see and hear with our spiritual eyes, with our spiritual ears. We lift the time into your hands. May you bless it. May your presence be here. In your name we pray.
Amen.
Okay. Breakfast with Jesus. This, you know, when I started the miracle series, I had this in mind. That was me for me to have my personal goal, because this is just for the past 2 years. This story in John has been one of my favorites. Just that's my little favorite passage of Jesus. And you guys heard of this story? Have you guys heard of this story?
Probably.
Okay. Probably you have. Anybody? Have you heard of this story? Do you remember a time where Jesus had breakfast with his disciples? No?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So you have. Yes, and the breakfast looks exactly like this. This is the snapshot taken by John.
Rule.
Okay. No, I'm just kidding, right? I just found this picture, but you see that's a fish, right? So Jesus had fish. And I can't wait for us to study this together and to discuss it. I like it. You guys don't have to, but I hope you guys will as well. Let's read this, okay? Let's read this first. Somebody read that for us. Scott, can you read that for us?
John 21, 1 through 14. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat. That night, they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus.
Yes. So last week we talked about the road to Emmaus, right? Where those Jesus appeared to the two disciples, right? And they broke bread, their eyes were open. They're like, "Oh, we've been eating with Jesus all this time." So this is another incident where Jesus reveals himself after his resurrection. And I put a map here. Tiberias is right here. It's around the Sea of Galilee. This is a well-known area for the disciples, for Jesus, for that's where they fished, that's where they traveled, that's where they gone through the storms together. So the disciples go to Tiberias, and Peter goes, "I'm going fishing, guys." The rest of them says, "I'll go with you. We got nothing to do. We don't know what happened. We're a little scared. Jesus, we can't find him. We're not sure if he really resurrected. So we're going to be here." So they're fishing. They don't know what's going on. I was just thinking, it's almost like us, right? Yeah, I believe Jesus is coming back. Not sure when. Do I really believe that? I'm just going to work. Just do my thing, right? Is Jesus really coming back soon?
Yes.
Yes? Okay, it is. He is, oh, but we don't know when, though. Kind of confused. I mean, sometimes we don't know what's going on. It's been a long time. So it's kind of the same thing. So that he's going fishing. Nothing wrong with that. They're just doing what they know what to do. Just a reminder, why did they go to the Sea of Galilee? Look at this verse. An angel said to the women who went to the tomb to look for Jesus, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell the disciples, Peter and everybody, that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him." See, I have told you. It's very clear, right? So the women told the disciples, go to the Sea of Galilee because Jesus is going to meet you there. So they had an idea. They're at the Sea of Galilee because the women said, Jesus is going to meet you there. That's kind of the backstory, right, to all of this. I don't know if this question is like too heavy or too soon, but it's in my notes. So kind of want you to think about this as we move forward through the story that we're about to embark on. In what ways has Jesus revealed himself to you? I'm not talking about just the understanding of the knowledge about Jesus, but revealing in terms of how have you met Jesus personally. And think about that, because the story is going to be all about Jesus meeting the disciples, specifically Peter, in a very different way today. Okay, so kind of keep that in the back of your mind. And we'll move on. So that Jesus said to them, well, somebody read this, please. If someone can.
Jesus said to them, "Children, do you love any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast a net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to hold it in, because the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciple came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, but they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off.
Thank you, Abba. It's great. So this is interesting. This is the miracle, right? They couldn't catch any fish, and Jesus helped them to catch the fish. Now, I highlighted this part. Cast the net on the right side of the boat. Right? The disciples just fish on the left side of the boat all night long? Oh, the right side, of course. Should have done that, right? No, think about it, though. What I want us to answer this. Did the disciples fish on the left side all night long?
No.
No. Why do you, how do you know? They seem like experienced fishermen. They kind of know.
Yeah, figured out. If this doesn't work out, please do this.
Yeah. I'm not a fisherman, but if I can't catch any fish on the right or left, I may try the right, even the back or the front of me, right? All around, would you? Yeah. So they've kind of tried everything. And what do you think happened? Why now? Why is it go to the right side? And then all of a sudden they catch fish. What do you think happened? Just a guess. What do you think happened? Now I've tried everywhere, but all of a sudden Jesus said, go to the right, and boom, all the fish is on the right side. They're all harboring on the right side. They're not swimming on the left. They're all on the right. What do you think happened? Do you think Jesus has something to do with it? But why didn't the fish swim around all night? Do you think Jesus has something to do with that? Maybe. Think about that. They're experienced fishermen. They know when to fish. They usually will catch one, right? But no fish. And all of a sudden, they have a lot of fish. Suspicious. Very sus. Wow. Very sus, right? Is that a term? In school, they say very sus. Think about it. Could it be that Jesus said, hey, fishies, don't go there? Could it be that Jesus, hey, fish, go there now? It could be orchestrated by Jesus. Possible, think about that. Is that possible that Jesus is orchestrating the entire scenario like he did with the two men to Emmaus, right? He's orchestrating this for a purpose. What is that purpose? We're going to find out. Here's my suggestion, right? John is the writer of the gospel. So he's orchestrating this all for Peter. For his disciples, too, but really for Peter. There is an unfinished business that he has with Peter, Simon Peter. Something going on. So he's again, Jesus is the master storyteller. He's preparing the story. He's preparing the story like he would prepare our stories maybe right now, right? He's preparing the story to meet Peter in a very different way, in a very special way. Now, I want you to see this. This is very interesting. I want you to compare Peter's reaction, the first time he met Jesus, and this is the last time. Both times they were fishing. Both times they couldn't catch any fish. Both times Jesus came and says, here's the fish. They both caught fishes. So I want you to get into two groups and list out the differences really quickly. Group here and group here. Okay? All right, let's join really quick. I'm hearing different things. Just shout it out. What do you see the differences? I'm gonna say some stuff online. Fish is on the right hand. The net fishing though. let me see. He was zealous the second time and excited, right? That Scott says Simon Peter was not afraid compared to the first time. Anything else? Peter, I heard you begin.
I think in the first one, he doesn't really emphasize Peter like going to Jesus like as.
Okay.
While in the second one, it says like. He like threw himself.
He threw himself. Okay. Yeah. That's an important one. Huh? Yeah. Anything else?
The first time for Peter is I'm a sinner.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not worse.
Right.
Be with you. The second time is like, so love.
He just threw himself in.
Yeah.
Like, right.
Couldn't wait to.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I wanna focus on that one. What happened? What's going on? And I'm surprised by this because the first time Peter was in pretty good standing. What I mean by that is relatively to the second time. What happened before Jesus died on the cross? Peter denied him three times. Everyone's always making a big deal. That's the worst, right? You deny him three times. And this is why I mentioned earlier, Jesus has some unfinished business with Peter. So Peter jumps into the water. He is actually in the worst case scenario here. He is very guilty. He denied Jesus three times. He didn't do it here. He denied Jesus three times, the worst thing that you can do. But yet he's jumping into the water. Yet here, he just met Jesus the first time. And he goes, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." I would think that it would be switched around, right? First time I met Jesus, I'm going to run to you because I hear you're a good savior. You're going to cleanse my sins and I'm going to have eternal life. And then, oh, I sinned. I denied you. I ran away from you. Oh, depart from me, Lord. Why is it flipped? Can somebody tell me that? Do you see that difference? It's counterintuitive, but what's going on here?
I think it's before Peter really knows Jesus,
mm-hmm.
the teaching was you need to be pure.
Okay.
God doesn't like
Right. You need to be perfect.
But then God doesn't like sinner or
okay.
unclean.
Yeah.
But Jesus is a different way.
He's right? different.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jesus is like, I am here for the sinner.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And also, yeah. Peter knows, like, I have to say it.
I need to reconcile.
Reconcile.
Yeah.
Only through Jesus. Only with Jesus.
Okay.
To be between.
So he's not scared. Like Scott says, he's not afraid of Jesus because he knows that Jesus is not going to punish him.
Yeah.
As opposed to here, he says, "Get away from me, Lord, because I'm a sinner. I'm afraid." Okay, let's go into that a little further. Yes, that's exactly it. So now he knows Jesus, and this really is very helpful for us in our journey of faith, right? I struggle with this because in the past, even as a believer, every time I denied Jesus, I would do this. So I would run as far away as I can because I don't think I can be with Jesus until I get better, until I do better things. Then I said, now I can go to the throne because I did something better. Until I heard a pastor once said, "Guys, when you feel far away from Jesus and when you deny him, you think you've done the wrong thing, run to him. Don't run away from him." That's the whole point. Run to him. This is exactly what Peter is doing. No matter what, even if it's the worst thing that in your mind, in Peter's mind, that was the worst thing. He denied Jesus. Did the wrong thing. Three times, four times, five times, run to Jesus. And I'm like, why would the pastor say that? I thought, depart from me, Lord. Let me keep myself right. And he says, run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. And as I process that, I more, I realized John, the writer, is writing about something very important, and Jesus is teaching us something super important. He's saying your faith is not performance-based. Because did Peter perform very well here? He denied him 3 times. He should not approach Jesus if it's performance-based. Right? You see that? He should run away from Jesus. He should do one of these. Depart from me. It's not performance-based. What is it based on? If it's not performance-based. If it's not performance-based with your relationship with Jesus, what is it based on? Ryan, is your relationship with Jesus based on how many times you come to Sunday school? No. Or if you didn't think the right thing? Or it's not. What is it based on? Faith. Faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus. Faith in God. Yeah, faith in Jesus. And faith in Jesus' kindness, his grace, mercy. It's based on Jesus. Your relationship with God at the root of it is based on Jesus coming to you. It's by grace through faith that we are saved, right? By grace, by Jesus. But many times I think it's easy for us to flip it around. It's based on our performance. Then Jesus is closer. But if our performance goes down as an athlete, right? If your performance goes down, you are not in the inner circle anymore. Your place in the team is based on your performance. But in this scenario, Jesus is telling us it's not performance-based. That's hard to wrap around because we are bred ever since we were young to be performance-based. Do good, be the first, you will be in. But Peter is the one that did not fulfill the quota, did not fulfill the standard. Yet Jesus says, he's like running to Jesus. Like, you got no business running to me. You denied me 3 times. What are your thoughts about this? Anybody have any thoughts about this? Is this always in the forefront? Do you see the tension that you have? Is this something that you struggle with too, like I do? Sometimes I feel like I gotta do good, get close to Jesus.
I like to share something like that.
Yeah.
I think until this day is still pretty struggle with this.
Mm.
It's like I judge people.
Yeah.
I grew up in church, right? So yeah. It's around like high school.
Yeah.
College age, I have like 2 group of friends.
Mm-hmm.
One is church friend, they're good friends.
Okay.
They're good people, they're good friends. And then my school friends, I wasn't in a good school, so my school, they're not very good kids. So the school friend, best friend.
Yeah.
So I never want my school friend out of church. Oh. They get to produce the church.
I see.
Yeah, they, you know, I don't want you to lose friend, my good friend.
Okay.
So, I think I don't know if it's because grow up church, but it's always like this is a good place.
that's
just like
normal.
So, you know, a lot of time, before I want bring my friend to church, I already make the judgment like, oh, you cannot sing.
Things like that. You're really bad. There's no way.
I think until this day, I need to keep telling myself doing this. Just do the work.
That's a great example. Thank you for sharing. Because that is very performance based. They don't do anything good. There's no way they should be saved, right? Essentially, you're judging. Yeah, that's what we do. If you don't do good, you shouldn't be saved. But the good goodies, right? They can be saved. You're closer to the kingdom.
Yeah.
See? But that's not what the Bible teaches. Yeah. Jesus is completely, he sees the heart of man, right? He initiates, he engages with them. Our relationship many times, it's always Jesus coming to us, right? It's coming to us, it's like, come on, you know, I'm here. Not because I love you, not because you formed well. Right? Not because you performed well. With Peter, says, Peter, you're still mine. Not because you didn't deny me. In fact, you denied me 3 times, but you are still mine. And Peter kind of knew that too. He ran to Jesus. He says, I know I'm not going to be turned away. Even though he knows there's unfinished business here. I denied my Lord 3 times, and now he's actually alive. That's very powerful. So see what happens. When they got out of the land, when they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of that fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. Oh, very strange. It's an odd number, literally and figuratively. Nobody has an answer for this, but it's very interesting. And although there were so many, the net was not torn this time. Okay, so Jesus said to them, come breakfast now. Jesus telling them, hey, come on, let's eat. Now, none of the disciples dared to ask, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples. Wow. Jesus served his friends again. Right? This verse came to me. It's not performance-based because he came to serve us. We have a hard time understanding that. He came to serve Peter even at his failure. That's what he came to do. He came to serve us. Can you believe that? Even when we didn't perform up to his standard, he came to serve us. Why he came? Not for us to perform for him. That's why he would even have breakfast. And I didn't have this verse, but in verse 15, That's why I want to add it. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast, right? Now disciples ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. In verse 15, Jesus talks to Peter. This is where Jesus says, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, you know that I love you. He said to them, to him, these mean fish. He's inviting Jesus is inviting Peter to this breakfast, to all his disciples, but he really wanted to restore this relationship with Peter. It wasn't performance-based. He's just saying, Peter, I know what happened. You know what happened. I'm just restoring fellowship with you. You're still mine. That's why we're having breakfast together. We're breaking bread together. We're not enemies. Right. How important do you think this breakfast was for Peter? If you're in a state of like, I'm so far away from the Lord, how do you think this gesture of Jesus inviting Peter into breakfast means to Peter? What does it mean to Peter? How important is this?
That means a lot.
Why does it mean a lot?
Because, I mean, at the very least, it clears up like this guilt of conscience. So this is to live his life like regretting that moment.
So Jesus dealt with his regret and guilt.
Yeah.
That's huge, right?
Yeah.
When we have regret and guilt in our lives, it's almost impossible to move forward. Right? So this meant a lot. Yeah. Now Peter can move forward a bit. Anything else? How important was this breakfast for Jesus? I mean, for Peter?
I think it's like one of the small men. You're just like in the valley for so long.
Mm-hmm.
You're just hoping for something. Just hoping for a break.
Yeah.
And it's like at the time where you know, you're like shameful and you're like, you're just very like broken down.
Yeah.
You're just very down and depressed and all that. And you just like, you just need someone to be there, right? And Jesus showed up.
Yeah.
And he's there to like comfort.
Yeah.
Like, I'm here for you.
Yeah.
That's like,
beautiful.
Letting Peter know that he's quote unquote still on the team.
He's still on the team. Yeah. You know, hey, look, you missed the buzzer beater three times.
Yeah.
We lost three championships because of you. Okay, you ain't Kobe Bryant, right? But you're still on the team. Come have breakfast. Come have team breakfast. Right, come have team. You know how this team breakfast. Look, I never been on. Not that Elba would know. Yeah, that's right. Come have team breakfast because you're on the team. So come have breakfast. Eat with me. Let's eat. That's such a big gesture. He didn't say anything. Just like I have bread, I have fish. It's already burning. It's on the charcoal. It's on the fire. Let's eat. You're still on the team. It's not about that. It's not about performance. You're always going to be on my team. So it is comfort when you're in the valley. Yeah, that's anything else. That's super important.
I think Jesus also knows human most weakness in their life, and where Satan is going to attack us, let's blame ourselves.
Yeah.
And what we did, why did you do this? You've done this, you don't deserve it, and all that. And a lot of people, because of guilt that eat up their whole lifetime, that they provide any service for the Lord.
Yeah.
guilt behind them just continues to keep them up.
Yeah. Yes. That's what Daniel was saying too, right? That condemnation from the enemy. Jesus came to save him from that condemnation. He said, I don't condemn you. If I did, you wouldn't be having breakfast with me. I don't condemn you. I'm going to get rid of that condemnation. And we know Peter is a changed man after this incident. He still continued to make mistakes, but it was very different. That condemnation did not follow him. Super important. Yeah. Just by a breakfast with Jesus. That's it. One breakfast with Jesus changes the direction of his mind and his life. Cool. Make sure you invite Jesus to that breakfast. When you have breakfast. Anything else? Yeah, I don't have any. This is the best part. Jesus did not leave Peter hanging. This is the last kind of the story of the New Testament before Jesus ascends to heaven. And before he does that, he took the time to have a simple breakfast with Peter because he knew how much it would make a difference for the rest of his life.
This might be kind of going on the next tangent, but I'm just trying to imagine the whole like experience of having that breakfast with Jesus for Peter. Not much dialogue was exchanged, but sharing in that breakfast just set everything for him.
Yeah.
And then the next conversation that they go into is Jesus's feed by lambs. And I wonder if there is it was a perfect moment for Jesus to be able to say that because it alludes to that experience that he had right there with Jesus. Jesus fed him.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Like he fed him breakfast. And there's an element of reconciliation. There's an element of like the worst sin. You know, our brother talked about like, oh, you're too far gone. Yeah. Peter's like, well, let me tell you about the breakfast I had with Jesus right after I did the one thing to his face that I wouldn't do.
Yeah.
And so it's this whole like, the depth of, I guess, you know, disavowing God and like everything. In that moment of breakfast, it's a reconciliation, safety, no shame, no guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's no lecture even. It's, I don't know. I'm still kind of wrapping my head around it, but what Peter must have experienced, I think Jesus was inviting him to that. The other sheep.
Yeah.
And I think that's really big for Peter. You know, we always say the way we encounter Jesus is how we tend to minister to other people. Well, if this is kind of like the pinnacle of his experience with Jesus, like I wonder what was going through Peter's head every time he witnessed to other people. Yeah. Anyways, I thought that was, I'm like, oh, wow. Like, Jesus literally fed him and saying, like, do the same. And it's not, like you were saying, it's not performance-based. Invitation. Yeah.
Perform.
No, not at all. And so the invitation that Peter is going to give to other people is not based on their performance.
Right.
It's not based on.
And on this rock. Will I build my church, right? On this rock, right? This Peter is the forefather of these churches that began, right? It wasn't performance-based,
no.
Right?
It's like pure grace, like pure forgiveness, you know, full acceptance. It's really profound.
And that's Jesus. That's our Lord, right? That's why we rejoice. When I asked earlier, how has Jesus revealed himself to you? It's different for everybody, but when I get to the end of this story, I think about what is Jesus' facial expression and what is his posture when he's sitting on the rock around the campfire. Like, all the disciples don't dare to say anything because they know it's the Lord, right? It says there, right? They're just eating and looking at each other, looking at Jesus. Let's just imagine that right now. If Jesus is sitting here, we're just kind of, okay, it's the Lord. We're just eating. But I often, like when you close your eyes, what is Jesus' facial expression? I always ask that because someone asked me before and it changed my encounter, my relationship with you. What is his facial expression? Is he like, Peter, I know what you've done. What's his facial expression in each and one of his disciples? What's his posture? Is he like, you know, is he like walking around? What's his posture? He's a human. What's his posture like? Think about it. You know, when you have time alone, think about the posture and the facial expression of Jesus towards you. What's it like? What's it like? Because that's what Peter experienced. I believe we can still experience that same thing today, right? Still alive, still speaking to us. It's that. And that's what I mean. How has Jesus revealed himself to you? Like that? I like it.
You're right, it is very debilitating. Can't move, like, oh, want to run. Your first reaction is to run away.
Yeah,
it's very so yeah, it's off my butt. Sorry,
it's okay. This running away again, I want to tie it back. This goes all the way back to Genesis. Jesus reversing the direction where we run. In Genesis, Adam and Eve ran away and hid themselves. Right? Here, it's not by accident that Peter running toward Jesus. John is telling the story. He's reminding us, Jesus came to reverse that curse. Don't run away. At the worst moment, don't run away like Adam and Eve, because I'm saying run to me. I provided a way. I provided a safe spot. Run to me. Don't run away, because that's the old story. This is the new story. Run to me.
Oh, so that picture that you're saying, like, oh, what is Jesus' reaction?
Right.
So I imagine Jesus' reaction when I commit a sin, right, is I don't believe he's mad at me. I don't believe he's, you know, like, oh, did it again, right? Or I don't, you know, and not like, so, and he's not mad at me, right? How I imagine him is, my perspective is what I did do to him that broke his heart. I think he's more brokenhearted than any, but always willing to accept me back, right? And that's, at the end of the story, yes, I always get to that point of
it's like that process, right? That, yeah, at some point, I do get to that point where I finally accept that, you know what, Jesus does love me and not mad at me or part of me. But yeah, Jesus still loves me, still inviting me back at the table.
Yeah.
But it's that process that from that moment of sin to the moment of reconciliation, that process is clean. It is debilitating. It's
good.
Yeah.
And those are the effects of sin.
Right. Yes.
Not that we want to be in that place, but God provided a way for us to be back. In fact, He invites us back. And the reason why we don't want to sin is not because we're trying to achieve a certain rule. It's because we don't want to go through that debilitating process because there is hurt in there. We don't want to go through that process. It hurts. It takes time.
It's such an effective weapon that
to take you down. Yeah.
Like you were mentioning, it's so easy to think, I come to church, I'm here at Sunday school, I serve in this, serve that, I must be great. Not necessarily, right?
Yeah, it's not performance based. Run to Jesus. That's the ultimate message, right? I always come to Jesus.
To that point, I think it's cool. You mentioned the shift from Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like Genesis, God was walking in the garden too, right? But Adam and Eve just did. They didn't take advantage of that, walk with God. Obviously, didn't say that they did. They just hid. But now it's, the shift in our relationship with God as well. We can walk with Jesus. We know Jesus and we approach Him as a high. So,
yeah.
Shift. And then another thing that I was going to bring up before. Like the importance of the breakfast, I think it also really like changes the way the church started, or like it really set the foundation for it, right? Because without this breakfast, Peter probably wouldn't have been a great cornerstone or like a stone of the church at all. But with this, like he has boldness, and his first message in Acts was full of like grace and forgiveness. I think maybe he wouldn't have had before because he was very proud and stubborn for the beginning of the Gospels. All the Gospels. So it really changed him to set the tone for church.
That's really good. Yeah. That's why this breakfast is so important. Yeah. Thank you, Daniel. All right. So when you're here today, this, believe it or not, has been 8 miracles in the Old Testament and 8 miracles in the New Testament. So it's been about 4 months, right? Let me get back here.
On that cranberry sauce.
I know. I don't have cranberry sauce. So, 8. And I'm going to kind of, I asked the pastors already, I'm going to take the liberty of maybe having a month off. I want to bring that to you guys because I don't want to prepare anymore. It's because I want to prepare more, but I need some time to prepare the next series for January. And I would like to take some time to kind of formulate what theme and how to do it, and all of that. So that does take me some time. And this is not a religious course either, right? We are actually, this is enjoyable for all of us. So if we took 4 weeks off, would that be okay? Yes, maybe. And Pastor James even said, hey, if any of you guys wanted to come in and share a devotion, you can. It's okay. And we're not getting rid of Sun School. It's going to be bigger and better as we go, right? So if you want to come here and pray, maybe if we just want to sleep in a little bit, come during Sunday worship, that's fine too. We're going to have a lot of activity, the baptisms coming up, right? We're going to have Thanksgiving, Christmas, that's the best time, the old time, carols. Yeah, yeah, I love it. Maybe some time with the family. So I'm seeing this next few months as a time of kind of rest and kind of refreshing. And we may have one or two classes. I haven't formulated everything, so I'm just letting you guys know. But the course, all the miracles are done. There's one more. I want to say that it's an Acts. You know what that miracle is about, right? That's a miracle too. So, all that is to say is that we might be, we might have some breaks in between. So don't be surprised at some breaks in between, and we'll start it back up continuously in January, and a brand new thing. Now, for that to happen, I need everybody to give me some input, okay? Because that helps. You guys are my blind spots. I'm driving, you know, and sometimes I just keep driving on my own lane, right? Sometimes I change lanes, but I need somebody to tell me, hey, there's a car right there. Change to the right, not left. The semi coming down. So you guys are, the feedbacks are very important. I know I asked several times, but I know sometimes we may be shy giving feedback.
Yeah, why don't you guys give some feedback right now? Frank
is okay.
Actually looking for some feedback.
No, I have it here. Yeah, you can give me some feedback.
I think people can learn to just express. Frank is asking for a few months. We're going to take a break from the class because it actually takes a lot of, he has a job, he has a family. And even as a pastor, I found it hard sometimes to do week after week after week after week Sunday school, and still do the other things in life. You know, I think in the past we've always kind of had an elder chew or something like that, where you know he has no kids, he has grandkids to play with, but they can devote themselves to this, and they've been doing it for like decades, so they can. Yeah, but I think what Frank is saying is that it takes a lot of time. Like, this was a great series, do you guys think? Like, for me, I think it's a great series. I took so many notes on it and reflect on it during the week. But in order to have spiritual depth in the class, it takes time for a man or a woman to like really meditate on it, to let it soak in their system. So anybody have any feedback? Like, what do you guys think if Frank took, and myself, because I'd probably join him because I'd be preparing with you to back in at some point in time.
Yeah.
But it would be whatever. We have October, November, mm-hmm. December.
Yeah.
Like almost 3 months of no Sunday school.
That'd be something too.
Huh?
Yeah. There'll be a class here or there.
Okay, like once a month, maybe.
Maybe once a month. Yeah. Is that okay? Jesus says, don't come to breakfast, me and Mo. You're not performing.
Well, you guys could have breakfast with Jesus at home.
Yeah, sure.
Have some fish.
Have some fish. Yeah.
Take your time.
My time? Okay. I'll see you next year. Yeah.
I mean, as an athlete, you don't just throw like 24/7 all season, right? You need time to take your recovery.
Recovery. Yeah. And we want to do that in anything you're involved with, right? Take some time for recovery, okay?
We could even, if you guys want, you guys can, write on the Sunday school class email, hey, maybe on one Sunday we just gather for 30 minutes and then pray for this class.
Sure.
Pray for the teachers' preparation. Or we could think about like a different format of the class. Maybe for the younger ones, it's still a little bit too up there for them. And we can have a more basic English one, for them.
Well, those are the blind spots that I'm telling you, right? sometimes so engaged and like, I actually like it. I like when you guys look at me and say, I have a question, and then tell me about it. I like this conversation. I'm not trying to create a discussion. I actually like the discussions, okay? I'm enjoying this time. So, and I want you guys to enjoy too. I do have feedback questions. I figured,
yeah.
What's your feedback? That's too open, too general. So I have, with emojis.
Oh, yes.
Okay, and just click it, okay? Just click it. You see that?
Can you go back to the QR code so that everybody could scan it?
What is the QR code?
Remember I gave you the QR code?
Yeah.
I think I stuck it on the first page.
No, I think you stuck it in.
Oh, mine.
Yeah. Yours, right? What was it?
Mine was.
Maybe a dead friend.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that one. This one.
All right, QR code.
Okay, you can do a QR code.
And then go to the feedback on the menu.
And go to the feedback of the menu.
So I found what the issue was. It's just this.
Right?
It's
just
this. This is true.
Yeah, and then you can do it on your phone. It's anonymous. But it will give me some material to work with. Maybe next week we can just discuss it, right? It doesn't have to be a class next week. We can just kind of look at the your responses. Right?
Well, I really enjoy it. Always I don't want you to stop.
I don't want you to stop, right?
Yeah.
That's the feedback. That's the feedback. I know. I see. I'm going to have to a little bit. Yeah, just a little country. But yes, thank you. Thanks for the feedback. Yeah.
Like, I would. If I'm late, typically I just say to myself, I'm going to. Like, obviously, I was late today. I want to make it a point. That's how much I enjoy it.
Great. Like, take these to your.
It's not just information, though.
Yeah.
Really. I feel. Put things in perspective and challenge us. Think deeper.
Yeah, anybody online?
Thank you, Bobby. Yeah, anybody online?
Or yeah. Daniel, what do you think?
I think I prefer more to hear more from other people. I think it was good overall, in general.
Yeah.
It was interesting to learn about all these miracles. But yeah, I want to hear more from people. But I don't know if that's
more
because,
from other people,
yeah,
like other teachers too.
No, like the class. Like, I think it's only like a certain number of voices every week.
You want to hear more discussion.
Right. And so I don't know if that's because people just don't want to talk out loud or they need more time to think. But I think, like, if I was going to suggest like improvements or something, we could have, because we haven't done breakouts in a while. I don't know
right.
if people prefer, like, I don't know if that would help people. Like, if we just did like smaller groups here, we can just talk about a question or something.
Yeah.
And then also, like, I think each lesson could go for 2 weeks instead of one, like to give us more time to think. And, you know,
that's
during
good.
Like yeah. at the end of the first day, you give them to think about for the week or something.
And then come back.
Yeah, because I think I prefer the Old Testament series
uh-huh.
more because we told us like read the passage and mm-hmm. like, look back on that. But
okay.
We didn't really do that.
Yeah.
So just like something to think about during the week, I think would be good.
Yeah.
Even if we don't think about it, but like if there's people that are thinking about it, then we could come back the next week. We can like start off by
yeah.
like, discussing that, and then
yeah.
you know.
You see that's a good feedback. That helps because that's why I did it two times, but no one said yay or nay. So I don't know if the Old Testament way was better or the New Testament way, right? Of course, New Testament covenant is better, right? This is another dry joke, but
that was true.
So
it's hard.
So that's the feedback. That's the feedback. I was like, I like the way that we can do, have 2 weeks, give me time to think, right? Or give us the verses first, give us some questions first, even, right? So that helps. Then I can embed that into next year as we go on to a new lesson, that maybe, you know, think of the questions first, you can think about it, and then we can come here together and those questions are already kind of thought through. That's very good.
Yeah. And like with this, like this took 16 weeks, but if you double it, you got 32.
Ooh, yes. Just use the same thing, all that prep. Yeah. I'm done, right? Yeah, you're right. What did I think of that? I'm just like slaving away doing one every week. I can do two.
Yeah, milk it.
Yeah.
One question, you got three questions, one for good.
I see, I see, yeah. So yeah, those are good. That's very good feedback. You can do that too. So feel free to if I don't have a space for that.
Yeah, can you add an option to like a free box?
Free box, yeah. I'll add a free box in here for general thoughts, general feedback. And you can just write anything you want in there. Right? Good?
Yeah.
All right. Perfect.
See you guys in January.
Yeah, see you in January. Mr. Wait. Daniel, can you pray for us?
Thank you. Lord God, just thank you for this morning. Thank you for allowing us to gather once again and hear from your word and just to see your grace on Peter. Lord, I pray that we would also be able to experience that with you in our daily lives, Lord, that we wouldn't feel ashamed of our failures or our flaws, but we remember that you are just so forgiving and loving toward us, Lord, that you have all the grace in the world for us, Lord, that we can approach you without fear. And even when we have the worst sin in our life, that we, up to that point, that we can still approach you with the excitement and the confidence that Peter had when he approached you. So I pray that you would speak to us through that, help us to, enjoy walking with you and learn more of who you are, that we'd be able to approach you like Peter did. I thank you for the series that we had and learning all the miracles that you perform in the Old and New Testament. And I pray that you help that this helps us to be able to just be more aware of miracles in our lives and just to be more sensitive to how you're working and moving all around us. So I thank you for this class that we had, for praying to took all the time to prepare for us, Lord. Pray that you would be with us in the next couple of weeks, couple of months, as we are taking breaks, and I pray that we use that time wisely as well, that we'd still be able to grow and still, just still approach you and learn from you during the next couple of months. Help Frank and possibly Pastor Alex as they prepare for the next series that we have, and just continue to watch over our church and help us to walk with you, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel.